We often speak here of the timelessness of God. Because God is infinite, there is no time, no beginning and no end. So for God, all time is now. So the final judgment at the end of time has already been pronounced. And the judgment is mercy. Last night at the Easter Vigil, we read through a number of scripture passages that kind of tell the history of salvation, starting out with Genesis, the creation of the beginning of creation, and then moving to Exodus, the rescue from slavery and death in Egypt, and the wandering in the wilderness and the entry into the promised land, that God is continuing to create, continuing to expand love and life. And then we read from the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel their condemnation of Israel's faithlessness that always got trumped by God's mercy. Mercy is more powerful than sin. God's love is more powerful than death. And so the judgment that has already been announced at the end of time is God's mercy. And we who are locked in time and who get so impatient, remember, God has been watching his creation and expanding it for almost 14 billion years. We get impatient and we think, how come I'm not better than I should be? How come I'm not more accomplished? Why haven't I accomplished this yet? When am I going to die? How much time do I have left? What can I accomplish before that moment? And God just doesn't seem to be so concerned about those things. We get impatient with our world. There's sin everywhere. There's division everywhere. This ideology against that ideology, this language against that language, this culture against that culture, this race against that race. War is just constantly in our midst. This division that is almost a worship of death. Death, of course, and sin are the effects of division, disunity. And God never invented disunity. For God, everything is one. It's all in him. And we are in God. But we make up this human myth that we're somehow divided, separate from God. That God can't possibly dwell in me. And I can't possibly dwell in God. And so we make heaven and earth. There is no separation for God. There is no heaven and earth. It's all one. God's mercy is more powerful than all the wars, all the divisions, all the sin, all the death. And we Christians, we are the ones who hopefully recognize that great truth. And so we live our lives in hope. And if we read the news, it can be depressing. And it can just like, there is no hope. We're just going to be warring against each other. We're going to be hating each other. We're going to be dividing the world into this and that. We can't get out of this morass. But God can. And God already has. And in a room full of people like this, who are different from each other, who have different ideas and different paths and different plans and different likes and dislikes, and yet we're all one. And we're all going to eat and drink of the one Christ. And we all have the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit whose role it is to join us to Christ. We don't have to solve the world's problems. We don't even have to see the end. We just have to hope. And our hope is founded on God's mercy. Do any of us deserve to be here? Of course not. That's why the Mass always starts out with a penitential rite. I've sinned. I'm not here because I'm so perfect. I'm here because God is merciful. We are alive because God is merciful, because God is love, because God is continuing to fashion and refashion and create and recreate. It's just an ongoing reality. The universe is ever expanding, and our lives are ever evolving. So once again, we gather here on a regular basis to tap into that mystery so that we don't forget that great truth. The truth that all the division is a lie. All the death is a lie. The truth is life. The truth is that Christ has risen from the dead and taken us with him. There are two different views, one might say, throughout history about the resurrection of Christ. In the West, Europe and America, over the last 2,000 years, most of the art has shown Jesus rising from the dead, coming out of the grave by himself. But in the Orthodox and all the Eastern churches, he always goes with a crowd. They never portray Jesus rising alone. They always portray him rising with a crowd of people. And so there's a wonderful tradition that we have too, but the East is much more in touch with it than we are. And that is that on Holy Saturday, when Jesus was in the tomb, he wasn't just lying there in state. He went down into the netherworld, down into Hades. And there he found our first parents, Adam and Eve, and he took them by the hand and raised them up. And all of the dead with them. Adam and Eve symbolizing the whole human race. Christ doesn't rise alone. He rises with the whole human race. He took on our humanity to lift us up to his divinity. The Paschal mystery begins with the incarnation, that God would so love the world that he would take on our human flesh and then live it all the way to a horrific death and then rise from it. There's the dying and rising pattern of Christ is the descent into our humanity and then the raising us up to his divinity. This isn't about admiring what happened to Jesus. It's about joining what happened to Jesus.